You're listening to The Review, first broadcast on the 4th of August, 2012, on Monocle 24.
Hello and welcome to The Review, coming to you from Studio One at Midori House here on Monocle 24, with me, Markus Hippi, and Gillian Tobias.
Coming up on today's programme, we'll be visiting booksellers in Hong Kong, Sydney and Oslo.
What makes this shop special is that we have the largest range of books in the entire country, actually.
We'll also be chatting with Tuomas Kallio, artistic director of Flow Festival, which kicks off in Helsinki next week, to hear about some of the acts on the lineup.
And we'll be meeting the editor of Flamingo, the magazine that celebrates do-it-yourself culture. She joins us in the studio to talk about other titles that has caught her eye in our weekly magazine review.
All that coming up this week on The Review here on Monocle 24.
Hello and welcome to Studio One at Midori House with me, Gillian Tobias and Markus Hippi. Hello, Markus.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. This is Super Saturday, so it's midway in the Olympics and it's very exciting.
I don't think London has ever been this exciting place to be into. Last night I went to Russia Park to host Midori House from there. And you know what happened after that? We end up going to a Russian gala dinner.
I love it.
By the people here representing Sochi 2014 Winter Olympics.
That sounds like a lot of vodka to me, but...
there was a bottle of Stolichnaya on every table there, indeed. What was interesting is that how eager the Russians were to show what's coming up in 2014. If everything goes according to the plan, they believe that they are going to beat the Alps as a tourist destination, as a skiing destination after 2014 by gaining all that attention.
Well, yeah, I think something like that, the spotlight can really influence. It'll be interesting to see what happens to London and Britain. I mean, our experience so far has been that people haven't been coming, but they've been rather staying away. So I'm hoping that when things settle down, they will be back again. But still, it's been quite nice that it's been quiet.
And I've been extremely impressed by how everything has been organised. Last weekend, I went to see handball and weightlifting. I wasn't excited at all about the latter. I thought it's, you know, weightlifting, men lifting weights, and it smells a bit bad and sweat. But it was actually amazing. It was amazing. All this atmosphere, all the sound effects you get when the men walk to the stage, and cameras zooming to see their expressions on their faces. You see how nervous they are and so on.
I was going to say, because I've only watched it on television, but I just was wondering what the atmosphere is like and what you hear and what you see. Because I find we are spoilt by the television coverage because the angles and the coverage and the cameras are so amazing. And I just find, you know, it's almost hard to get any work done because I keep turning my head to looking at the big screens because the camera work, I just think, is absolutely spectacular.
It is. I was sitting on row two when I was watching weightlifting, and actually I realised I was mostly still looking at the screens.
I was wondering that.
Yeah.
No, it's very hard, I think, when you get such amazing angles. And although you just don't get the atmosphere, obviously, you know, so you would have heard those sounds and the excitement. So
and
I envy you that.
It was so good. All the audience was really on the weightlifter's side, regardless of the nationality. And I have to admit, I had this split of a second when I wondered if this is ethically correct, when I was also told to stand up to listen to the North Korean national anthem, because North Korea won that weightlifting.
You were told to stand up.
Everyone was told to stand up for that.
Oh, interesting. Well, I guess that's sports, though, you know? Maybe it's something about, you know what, let's put the politics behind and this is about the athlete, so.
That's brilliant. And more to come today. But for now, you are listening to The Review on Monocle 24.
Time now to open the door on a selection of bookshops around the world to hear what titles have been doing particularly well this week.
Our first recommendation comes from Hong Kong. It's a city that doesn't have all that many bookshops to be proud of, which is surprising considering the local printing and publishing industry is doing so well. One bookshop that stands out, though, is Kelly and Walsh, a bookshop first set up in Shanghai over a century ago. It sells English language books to locals and expats living in Hong Kong, and our bureau chief Liv Lewicznik popped in to say hello.
My name is Tony Orr and I'm the book buyer in Kelly and Walsh. Book buyer really need to be passionate about books, and also we need to be willing to learn new stuff, because there are so many different books, so many different subjects. We need to be willing to learn it all. so that we can choose quality books for our customers. Here's our travel section. We have quite a comprehensive selection of travel guides and also travel literature and large atlases. The Pocket Atlas of Remote Islands by Judith Shalansky. This is actually a pocket-sized version of an older book called The Atlas of Remote Islands, and the author here has chosen 50 really, really remote islands and talk about it. I think even if you know 4 or 5 islands before reading this book, you're really, really knowledgeable. These islands are not the usual places you would like to go to travel, obviously, because some of them, there's no one living there. And actually, there's nothing much to see. But the writer has written, I think, very lyrically about the islands. And although I don't think that anybody would be planning an itinerary of going to any of these islands, I think that only simply by reading this book, it makes people dream of adventure. I think this book here really has accomplished something. There's one island that I actually know before reading this book. It's called Cocos Island. Let's see where it is. Yeah, Cocos Island. Off the coast of Costa Rica. Legend has it that pirates have buried some treasure in the island, but nobody has actually found anything. The layout of the book is like this. First, they will talk about the island, and then the next page, there would be a nicely illustrated map of the island. After that, there would be a short history or a short story about the island. One island, two maps, three treasures. August Gisler is certain that he can find the pirate gold of the black flag ships that have rounded Cape Horn. Edward Davis Booty, Benito's Bonito's loot and the cathedral treasure of Lima, with its life-sized statue of the Blessed Virgin in solid gold. One of our customers actually talked about going there. He said he has invented a method of detecting treasure and have already planned the whole trip. But then, sadly, the Costa Rican government don't allow him to go there. He is an adventurous person. This book suits him really well, and it's very possible that he got the inspiration from this book.
A man who loves his books. That was Tony O from Kelly and Walser Bookshop in Hong Kong.
Well, next up is Oslo, where Andreas Lindvåg went to see the Norli bookstore.
My name is Per Erik Olsen, and I'm the manager of Norli bookstore, the biggest bookstore in Norway. We are located in the middle of, in the central part of Oslo, in the same street as the art gallery, National Art Gallery. And we are a bookstore on about 2,000 square meters, about 65,000 titles in our shelves, approximately 65 employees. What makes this shop special is that we have the largest range of books in the entire country, actually. You can browse the book sites, the bookshops, Amazon or something, and many of the new hot titles in the different departments, you can find them here, because we are buying them in very, very early. And we have deals with the foreign publishers, and that's why we all normally have the books in our shelves when they are released in, for example, United States or England. Well, our customers are readers, in big scale readers. Usually we have customers visiting us 5 to 8 times a week, sorry, a month. And that's much, very much, because normally a customer to a bookstore visit the bookstore one, maybe twice a month. And the reason why is that we are covering just the entire academic area and the novel area. Yes, this autumn I'm looking very forward to see the new book to Lars Saabye Christensen and Ingvar Ambjørnsen. That's two authors we always sell a lot of books of. Lars Saabye Christensen is one of the biggest authors, most famous and most selling authors in Norway living today. He started his authorship in the end of 1970, beginning of 1980, and one of the most famous books is Beatles. It's a book about growing up in Oslo in the 60s, and he's also translated to several languages. Absolutely recommend to read Lars Saabye Christensen, yes. My personal favorites are military history books. My favorite is one of them we are selling all the time, and that's John Erickson's books about the Eastern Front, The Road to Stalingrad, and the second book, The Road to Berlin. And also David Glahn's book about the Eastern Front. That's also a very interesting, he also writes very interesting books.
That was Per Erik Olsen, general manager of Norli Bookstore in Oslo. Today, Norli is actually a chain of stores, but this one is situated in Universitetsgata, and it's the original store, which opened way back in 1883. Interesting to note that Per is actually a published author himself, and he's written books on World War II in Norway and the Winter War in Finland.
Mm, what a topic. And finally, we head to Sydney to Glee Books.
My name's David Gaunt. I'm from Glee Books. I've been the co-owner here for about 35 years. We, like a handful of other shops in the big cities in Australia, kind of broke the rules basically to bring books in from all over the place and open up the market for quality overseas non-fiction books for the thinking person that challenge. We're in an old, 19th century built suburb, one suburb away from the centre of Sydney. It's a bit daggy, really, to use an old-fashioned Australian word. It's plain, unadorned, functional, but it breathes and absolutely oozes books all over you.
That's $24.95, thanks very much.
Hilary Mantel's new book, Bring Up the Bodies, is the second of a trilogy that she's writing, centred around the life and career of Thomas Cromwell, who was Henry VIII's kind of hitman. He was a lot more than that. And I just think it's the most exciting breakthrough in the writing of historical fiction that I've come across since I've been a bookseller. Because what it does is it takes the life of a common man who became an extraordinary, uncommon man, who became the most powerful person in the kingdom. And I think it actually gives you the key to what the beginnings of, the democracy and parliamentary democracy and things like that. This book is for people who love historical fiction in the first place. British history, constitutional history, European history of that time, religious history of that time, because it's jam-packed with all that, because that's what it's based on.
There you go.
Thanks so much.
No worries. See you later. See
well, ya. The one I'd love to mention in particular is Anna Funder's All That I Am. Marvellous book, first work of fiction by somebody who had published an award-winning work of non-fiction, Stasi Land, about 7 or 8 years ago. She came upon a story of a real person who was in her very late years in Sydney in retirement and, in fact, ailing. And she went with a colleague to interview that woman and discovered that her life had been an absolutely extraordinary one, and it involved the resistance to Nazism during the rise of Nazism as opposed to, during the Second World War. Amazing story and really well told, and it's been a fabulous bestseller. False Bread by Gillian Mears, who's a beautiful writer who hasn't written enough and sadly has been quite ill, but she's, I think, pulled off an amazing feat with a book called False Bread. Anyone with an interest in horses or nature or the aching kind of beauty of living fundamentally in the country with and around animals would get this book. And I think it's a tough book to read. It's a sad book to read, but it's a beautifully written book, and I can't speak highly enough of it. It's marvellous.
That was David Gaunt, owner of Glee Bookshops, in a successful store in Sydney. My God, that man was someone who just makes me want to go to a bookstore and buy a pile of books and then put away 2 weeks to do nothing but read.
I was just going to say the same. I know that after this programme, I'm going to go to a bookshop.
Exactly.
Well, I have to go and see water polo first, but after that then. It's really great. I used to know a bookseller in Helsinki when I still lived there who actually knew quite well what I liked. And that's the best thing about booksellers. bookshops, if you get to know the right people, they can give you amazing recommendations and you can find out so much more about literature.
Well, I tend to eavesdrop and just hear what other people are buying, look what they're buying, hear their conversations, and then I sort of follow their lead sometimes. There's a nice element of surprise.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant. But, you know, one of the highlights of Finnish Helsinki summer is taking place next week. It's a tradition for many Helsinkians to go to Flow Music Festival.
Mm-hmm.
It's the IT festival of Finland. It's got the best bands internationally in there performing.
And you're not just saying this because you're Finnish, Marcus.
No, I'm seriously not saying it because I'm Finnish myself. I really think it's very good. It's been growing so much. It started less than 10 years ago, and all of a sudden it's 10 times bigger than what it was in the very beginning. It's amazing. And we are going to be talking to the organiser of this festival after this.
On the latest episode of Section D, we visit Buenos Aires to hear what life is like today for the architecture and design community there. We also head to Melbourne, where a three-day event last week explored the importance of sound in architecture.
And it's given us rise to think about, okay, so let's think more about sound. What are its qualities? What are its values? What can we learn about it? If we value our oral experience just as much as our visual one, then there's a whole another world of richness out there that we can tap into.
Elsewhere, we talk to a man in Macedonia about his matchbox collection. We speak to the Australian firm that built the cauldron for the London Olympics. And we find out, thanks to a new exhibition at the New York MoMA, how design for children has evolved over the last century.
That's Section D with Hugo MacDonald, premiering every Tuesday at 1900 hours UK time, right here on Monocle 24.
The Olympics are coming to London.
Australia is the best sporting nation in the world. It's what we do.
And to Monocle 24.
Bulgaria will excel in freestyle wrestling and shooting.
Turkey has the best wrestlers in the world.
From the 27th of July and throughout the Games, we'll be going faster, higher and stronger, bringing some of the icons of the Games into Midori House, as well as taking Midori House out on the road.
The Estonians will just run around in circles. That's what they do.
I'm not even sure if Lebanon is in the Olympics, but if it is, go Team Lebanon!
O Brasil é bom no futebol.
Great Britain will probably dominate in most of the Olympic sports because we invented virtually all of them.
With a series of special shows from across the city.
Even though we are landlocked, Hungarians are great at water sports. Plus, we love a speedo.
Obviously, Germany is good at football and Germany is very good at canoeing.
To all the winners in Team of Chinese Taipei, make us proud.
Monocle 24, keeping a sporting eye and an ear on the Olympics.
And you're listening to The Review here on Monocle 24 with me, Gillian Tobias, and Marcus Hippy.
And on Wednesday, at last, the annual Flow Festival kicks off in Helsinki. It is one of the most interesting festivals in Europe this summer, and in Finland it's considered to be the IT Festival. It has a great location, almost in the Helsinki city centre, and it's been getting bigger year by year. Well, I will be heading there on behalf of Monocle 24. What a tough life this is for our culture and menu programmes, but to give us a taste of what's on offer this year, we're joined on the line now by Tuomas Kallio, Artistic Director of the festival. Hello, Tuomas.
Hello.
So indeed, it's just a few days to go and Flow Festival kicks off. How much work is there still to be done?
Well, there is actually quite a bit of work to be done still. We are maybe a bit crazy in terms of how much effort we put into the actual festival site and all the elements that we create just for 3 days, which is almost feels like sad sometimes to see it come and go so soon. But yeah, I mean, it's all coming together quite nicely right now. The actual festival site has been growing. We've been building it since almost a week ago or so, I'd say. So it's kind of a long process, the actual building even. And of course, in a way, the foundation of the festival has been built throughout the whole year, starting from last autumn. So it's a long process. Yes.
I wonder if you can give us a sense. I mean, seeing your website, it looks like some of the locations are really quite intriguing, including a tram. Is it true you have part of the music festival takes place on a tram?
Yeah, that's a public tramway that we have. It's actually, they call it the culture tram car or whatever. It's something that is actually in use throughout the year, so there's other activity as well.
And what kind of music can you hear on the tram?
Well, I think what we're going to have there is actually part of our experimental music concept called The Other Sound. So it's something on the kind of a more maybe electronic experimental side. Also some visual stuff I think is going to be displayed on the tramway.
Tuomas, Helsinki is the World Design Capital this year, and I happen to know that you organized a competition. You asked people to design one of the stages for Flow. What is this stage like then?
Well, actually, it wasn't a public competition as such. It was part of a concept that was called Wastelands. It's organized by the architecture student ensemble. I think they've been running from 81. I think it was actually based in Liverpool in the UK. So what they have this annual happening that takes place, I think mostly in some city in Europe, where they gather some 500 architect students in one location for a couple of weeks to do workshops and stuff like that. And our stage competition was kind of the headlining competition for this event this summer, and yeah, the result is it's quite challenging, it's quite expensive, but yeah, we went for it like full blast. So it's probably for me one of the key elements this summer. It's a big balloon that is working as a cover for a stage. So it's kind of interesting for the performers and also the audience, because it's not really outdoors, but it's not really indoors either. So it's something a bit different.
You make the performers perform inside of a balloon, kind of inside of a balloon.
Yeah, it's underneath a balloon. And it's a big balloon. It's 14 meters.
It's massive.
Yes.
Well, the stage is set. Why don't we get a bit of a taste of some of the music you're going to be playing at Flow next week? Why don't we kick off with something Finnish? This is French Films with Pretty in Decadence.
I went to heaven to get advice. I asked for God, but I didn't have time.
That was French Films, Finnish band, with song Pretty in Decadence. And on the line we have Tuomas Kalli, Artistic Director of Flow Festival that takes place in Helsinki next week. Tuomas, French Films, the band, do you think it gives a good idea about Finnish music scene for people who haven't really got to know so much about Finnish music industry?
Well, probably not. It's a small genre, I think, this kind of indie rock still here in terms of numbers. But there are good acts coming up. And actually, I think in many ways, this kind of scene is probably living its kind of heyday right now with many up-and-coming acts coming up right now. But of course, the mainstream and the kind of biggest genres in Finland may not be this kind of stuff at all, I'd say still.
What is it instead, then? What would you say?
Well, it's still a lot of heavy metal in Finland. It's still the biggest pop acts are probably somewhere around, I don't know, I mean, it's not probably this kind of guitar-based sound at the moment at all, really.
Well, let's listen a bit more Finnish music. This is another Finnish act, Gracias, with the track Money.
Gets it in, no joke. B-Mac bet it all in quotes. Scared money don't make money, I suppose. A $1 million shot, bloke, strike a pose. Snapbacks and pocket tees, my cup of tea. Brainstorm like Socrates, who hot as me. Embrace y'all, well I've been seeing the Odyssey. You ought to see the truest indeed prodigy. I give life to tracks like an organ donor. Your shit is hard to swallow like a warm corona. What's up with the chit chat? Break like a Kit Kat. Dumb dummy, dumb dumb, flow the kids back. Assassinate the beats, haters can't compete. Manos on my feet, make my cipher complete. Total eclipse, unleash the beast. No exit, knee deep in shit.
And just who was this other one? Yeah. What's his name?
So we chasing money like Cash Cage. We ride up in a spot where the cash majors to smash stages, blast wages, twist tops. When we drop all flavors, it's a quick swap. Mouth full of razors, sharp homage in that. Entertainer to get wop.
That was Money by Finnish act Gracias. Tuomas, how much hip-hop is there in Flow Festival this year?
Well, we always have some. I'm personally not such a big fan of hip-hop or rap music as such, but still, I do like some of it, and there are some, I'd say, four or five acts maybe this summer that could be described as...
Tell me about the principles of Flow Festival. There is no heavy metal, despite heavy metal being one of the most successful genres of music in Finland.
Well, if we have it, it's something totally kind of left field angle to that. We might have something that is more to do with noise music or something, but it's not the kind of traditional heavy metal, no.
Well, maybe we'll move away from noise, and why don't we try another track that you're going to be featuring, another band. This is a UK act, Kindness with Scient.
This song can probably be heard at Flow Festival in Helsinki as well. It was Scient by Kindness. And on the phone we have Tuomas Kalli, artistic director of this festival. Tuomas, how much work does it take to attract these international bands to come to Helsinki?
Yeah, I mean, that's a long discussion, but with short, I mean, the competition is actually getting quite pretty tight at the moment in terms of the live music scene and the market in Europe, mostly due to the fact that as the recorded music is kind of in a big trouble right now in terms of the financial side, the live music has kind of blown up. But yeah, I mean, we have been fortunate enough to actually have kind of a two allies here in Scandinavia or the Nordics. So there's on the same weekend in Gothenburg, Sweden, there's a festival called Way Out West, and then a festival called Øya in Oslo in Norway. And all these three festivals take place on the same weekend, and we actually make a lot of joint offers, especially on the bigger acts, bigger, more expensive offers tend to mean more if you can tie up a couple of festivals instead of just one. And this is actually one of the key things, I think, for us all three to be able to gather such a, I'd say, stellar lineup is here.
Do you think this is actually, you know, a good time for Finnish homegrown music? I mean, there are often little pockets of the world that percolate and bubble and are better at certain times. Do you think there's a good amount of creativity on the music scene in Finland at the moment?
There is, yes. I mean, I think many of the scenes in Finland do not lack in creativity, but more in the kind of business side. So it's usually the weakness is lack of links or lack of ways of how to conceptualize or take your creativity into a form that can be exported if you wish. That's usually the case here. And of course, in many ways, even a festival like ours might be one kind of additional channel for new and upcoming Phoenix acts to attract certain people that wouldn't probably notice them otherwise. So, I mean, that's usually the case. I mean, there's a lot of great ideas here, I think, in many scenes.
Well, let's listen to a bit more of music. Now, a clip of your next track. This is from a band performing at Flow next week as well. This is Thinking About You by US artist Frank Ocean.
A tornado flew around my room before you came. Excuse the mess it made. It usually doesn't rain in Southern California, much like Arizona. My eyes don't shed tears, but boy, they pour when I'm thinking about you. Oh, no, no, no. I've been thinking about you. You, no, no, no. I've been thinking about you. Do you think about me still? Do you, do you? Or do you not? So far ahead, 'cause I've been thinking about forever. You were cool enough to kick it. Got a beach house I could sell you in Idaho. Since you think I don't love you, I just thought you were cute. That's why I kiss you. Got a fighter jet, I don't get to fly it though. I'm lying down thinking about you.
That was music from Frank Ocean, Thinking About You. Duomas Flow Festival, where this artist is performing as well, it's being, in Finland, it's kind of called to be the biggest hipster convention of the nation. And it's got really the reputation of having so much fashion going on in there. Like, and like, there's so many young men and women in Finland already now thinking about their outfits for the weekend. When did this happen and how did it happen?
Well, this is a question we always wish to avoid. We kind of a bit laugh about the whole issue, but yeah, it's of course true, because the whole setup is so different from the kind of a muddy normal rock festival setup. So it's kind of, you know, it's intriguing to actually dress up and be part of that in so that the visitors can also express themselves by dressing up or whatever. But I don't know, I mean, it's probably something that is just happening in this age that we live right now. It's not really about the festival. I think it's something that comes on the side because we care so much about the kind of design aspects. We have a lot of visual arts. We care about the food a lot. We actually kind of curate the food set up as well, so we kind of treat it as part of the program.
Tuomas, tell me about the food, by the way, because that was something I was going to ask you next. Yeah. It's very interesting. You really don't get the typical festival food at Flow. It's not really grill food. It's about some of the best restaurants of Helsinki coming to the festival to offer this food.
Yeah, that's the whole idea. That's probably the main key idea behind the whole concept is to treat it as a whole. The festival has to be an experience, in a way, a trip. Even though you might stay in your hometown, but you have to feel like you went somewhere. It has to be kind of a feeling of going somewhere, and that's part of the concept. Is the food, the way we build the site, the arts that you can experience at the site. We do have films and stuff, so it's not just about the music. We care about the whole thing, maybe at times a bit too much, but it's just, I feel it's totally natural. Also the drinks, the champagne we offer, whatever, it's part of the whole experience. It's really important to us.
Indeed, and this all takes place starting from Wednesday next week, Flow Festival in Helsinki. Thank you so much for this, Tuomas Kallio, artistic director of this festival. Let's listen to a bit of music. This band is performing in Flow as well, the Black Keys, and this song is Dead and Gone. It's 18 minutes to the top of the hour, and this was Dead and Gone by the Black Keys.
You're listening to The Review on Monocle 24. We'll be hearing about the slightly eccentric Flamingo magazine after this break, so stay tuned.
From São Paulo to Sapporo, from Brooklyn to Buenos Aires, with a samba, bossa, jazz, poppier, rock and roller, frankly far superior station, to discover the newest and finest sounds. This is the sound of Monocle spinning its musical globe. Check in with our editors turned DJs as they whisk you through the time zones as we take you continental, Atlantic and Pacific. Round the clock, round the block, music
on Monocle 24. It's that time of year when Monocle packs its trunks and its bikinis and heads to the beach to produce our summer resort newspaper, Monocle Mediterraneo. Our large format paper takes the temperature of the region from Liguria to Lebanon, Marseille to Mallorca.
In the design section, we discover a modernist neighbourhood in Naples, a mid-century gem in Ibiza, and a cool stone creation on Mykonos.
In the edit section, we show you how to cook the Mediterranean way with recipes for Turkish and Lebanese specialties, and we interview the food ambassadors that are shaping the restaurant scene in Italy and Greece.
And we head to Tuscany to find out where US soldiers unwind on Europe's only US military-controlled beach.
Monocle Mediterraneo is on newsstands now. It's the only beach companion you'll need this summer.
Welcome back. It's Saturday and you're listening to The Review with me, Marco Sippi, and Gillian Tobias.
Well, every Sunday we have the luxury of time to pore over our favourite magazines and discover new ones. And our guest reviewer this week, sharing her special finds, is Siobhan Leddy, editor of Flamingo magazine. And she joins us now. Welcome, Siobhan.
Hello.
First of all, I want you to describe what Flamingo is, the concept and kind of the design of it.
Flamingo is a kind of DIY culture magazine, so it's quite rooted in kind of grassroots culture, and it's quite illustration led.
But when you say DIY, it's not necessarily DIY make it yourself. It's DIY is kind of a way to live your life, isn't it?
Yeah. It's this idea of people that are kind of creating on a kind of very basic level and very like screen printing, for example, or even outside of this, in a cultural sense, people who are we interviewed a guy who walked alone around the planet and was the first person to do this. And it's just kind of like little everyday stories, really.
And what I love about it is the DIY is kind of creating experiences. Mm. So it's, that how you live your life.
Yeah.
When you launched the magazine, it's been running for approximately 2 years. Mm-hmm. What kind of an audience did you have in your mind?
Well, when the magazine was started, I kind of didn't really have an audience in mind. I kind of naively set it up with just things I liked, and it ended up quite chaotic as a result. And as time's gone on, then people have responded quite well to the kind of randomness of it all. So I think it's kind of forged an identity from there, really.
Would you say that the magazine would have developed somehow during these years?
Oh yeah, certainly. Just because having Craig come on board about a year ago as well, who is the art director, just having someone else there to kind of bounce your ideas off, just kind of helps make everything a little bit more stronger and, more fully formed.
Do you think the beauty of publishing a magazine like this is kind of bringing together like-minded spirits?
Yeah. I think magazines are a really great way to do that as well, because there's a kind of almost like a nostalgia attached to it. And I think Flamingo does have a kind of nostalgia in there, really. It's quite analogue, a lot of what's going on there. And I think that's a really good platform to kind of form a little community from, really.
It's nice that you kind of obviously have a love of the magazine and the print piece. Where do you go to sort of discover your magazines and to find your magazines and buy them?
Usually, I live quite close to Artwood, so that's always a really good place to go and find new things. And they're always really, up for discussing magazines and new things that they've discovered as well. So that's quite nice. Like on our travels about the place, Do You Read Me in Berlin? Yeah. It's a really, really great magazine shop. Just kind of anywhere and everywhere, really.
Well, about the magazine Flamingo, you mentioned like-minded people. How much do you keep in touch with readers? I found the magazine very inspirational. If I didn't know you, I would probably be already emailing you to give you feedback and my thoughts. Do you get a lot of that?
Yeah, I do actually. It's always really nice when, I think people are quite keen to ask questions. So a lot of people who are students or illustration graduates often do get in contact and say that, it's really nice to hear, actually, because it kind of strengthens the bonds that you have with people. So, it's really good to hear that feedback.
And what are the magazines you kind of are attracted to? What have you brought with you today in your satchel?
Well, really quite diverse magazines, actually. The first one is called Knockback, which is a feminist zine. And it's kind of, this issue I have here, it's kind of published really infrequently. This one came out quite a while ago now, but this issue I have here is the hardcore issue, and it's kind of, if you have a feel, it's sort of
wrapped in feeling magazines.
Leathery, kind of almost bondagey laminate, which kind of sets the tone really for the content. It's quite silly and radical and quite serious as well at times. Actually quite funny. The little essays in there are quite...
Graphically black, white and red. What's the editorial sort of premise?
Kind of everyday feminism, I would say. Nothing too academic. Just, you know, there, an example, there's got a questionnaire they've got a contraceptive game of snakes and ladders in here as well, I think. So, yeah, it's pretty different to most magazines out there. So it's kind of definitely comes from this sort of zine aesthetic as well.
And is that the kind of thing that will kind of get word of mouth of appeal and the...
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's really... I've never actually seen it in a shop, I don't think. I assume they do sell them in shops, but I haven't actually seen it. So it's one of those things that... You know, you hear about from other people.
And pass it around from friend to friend to friend.
Obviously, for work, you have to follow what's going on with other magazines as well. How much influence have you got from your findings from magazines, other magazines?
So how much influence do I get
from other magazines? Yeah, inspiration.
Yeah, well, it's amazing because obviously the thing about independent magazines is you don't have to adhere quite so strongly to an editorial policy as such. So you can... really fully express yourself in them. And there's always inspiration to be found. I mean, just in the magazines that I brought along today, so many, you can tell almost without meeting these people who the people are that made them and, you know, the opinions they have. And it's really great, actually. And it's so easy to be inspired by them.
What else did you bring with you?
Second one, much more wholesome by comparison, is Collect, a really, really lovely Australian magazine. And it's all about this idea of community and the little urban spaces that, or even rural spaces that exist within the world. And it's very kind of people-focused and people-centric. And again, it's just really beautifully put together as well. And it's just kind of warm and fuzzy to read.
It's funny, a lot of the magazines that are crossing this table on a Saturday when we do the review, just visually, they tend to be quite compact. They're almost like paperback books. And there's something about the design of them that make them quite collectible. And people are gravitating to stay away from the conventional sort of A4 magazine.
Yeah, yeah. And it, I think this kind of bookish feel really suits it as well. It's kind of like something you can pop in your bag and you know, go and have a nice cup of tea somewhere and really get stuck into this world that the editorial team's created. And it's really easy to get lost in it.
I love the simplicity of some of the headlines here. Just, you know, for the kind of retail design shop page, it's just lovingly made things you can purchase. The title is just
to the point.
It says what it is. Or the review section, opinions by opinionated. I love it.
I also quite like the fact as well, they just, on the cover, they have this like single object. And again, it's a really simple idea. And, you know, it's often quite an everyday object. And then a couple of pages in, they'll go into a little bit of the history of the object as well. And it kind of grounds it in you know, who's behind all these things, which I think is very much in line with what they're trying to do.
What's on your cover, Marcus?
It's a bag.
A suitcase.
I think I was just thinking that it's actually quite clever in a way. When you buy this magazine, you don't really want to throw it away because it really feels like an item. It really feels like something that you want to keep in your bookshelf. It's how much magazines do you keep at home? You must have quite a collection.
Yeah, I need to get a new bookshelf, actually.
I can't help but think, leafing through this one and in a way yours, Flamingo, there doesn't seem to be any obvious advertising or funding. How does one fund these wonderful, beautiful, original, smart publications?
Oh, well, that is the big question. I think it's one of those things, you know, if you do a magazine that is of like a short run and, you know, doesn't have any advertising, it's never going to be a huge money spinner. Mm-hmm. That kind of goes with the territory. So it's more kind of love and hard graft and often a day job as well to do all of that. So yeah, it's you do it for the love. You don't do it to get rich.
When you think of the market, say for a magazine like Flamingo, how much are you trying to push the magazine abroad?
I have a distributor who deals with overseas. Our features editor, Grishina, who lives in Berlin, and obviously she kind of does a lot at zine festivals and things out there with it. But yeah, it just kind of, it's again, much more slow moving. It's quite grassroots in the way that it's being passed around again. So, you know, surprisingly, there are people, emails we get from people in like Melbourne who really like what we do. I was like, wow, I didn't even know we were started in Melbourne. It's amazing.
You say it's a labour of love, and I'm wondering if kind of it's a means to something else. Like it's opening up a conversation. So it's not just the final product that comes out, but it's something about people wanting conversations, and it's the start of something rather than just an end product.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, because the idea of community at the moment is such a kind of strange paradox for a lot of people. And I think using a magazine to kind of help pull everything together and act as a platform to discuss why these things are important and why people feel like they want them is, you know, it's part of something much bigger and much more important than just a magazine, you know.
Sorry for rushing. I want to see other magazines as well. You've brought quite a few with you.
I had a bit too many, actually. I got overexcited. But this one is Wooden Toy, which is a fairly recent discovery for me. And, again, quite different to collect. It comes in this cardboard box and has a huge number of inserts. This is the music edition, so they've got a certificate of authenticity, a mini poster.
What are you meant to do with all these?
There's so much going on. It's amazing.
Isn't it nice, the surprise element to open it up? It's like a goodie bag.
It is. It's like a kind of Christmas present, really. Yeah. And each spread is totally... I mean, it's fully illustrated. It doesn't feel like it's been designed as such. Well, obviously it has done, but, you know, it's very much by illustrators. And so each spread is totally different to the one before it. And, you know, you can just feel the amount of hours that have gone into producing it by different people.
Beautifully produced, the whole illustration page by page. You just want to frame each of the pages, really.
Yeah. There's, in the May magazine, there is an illustration of a robot factory where robots are putting together other robots, and it's just an insanely detailed thing. That's just one page.
It's interesting when and I was looking at your magazine, which has themes. It's quite nice when magazines do special themes and concepts that, you know, they don't have to be adhered to too strictly, but it opens up the thought. And your issue this week is residences?
Homes and habitats, yes.
And how do you editorially, what kind of, between these pages, how have you taken that theme?
It's more like we have a certain number of writers who really enjoy writing for Flamingo, and so we kind of get to them together with them just before we start putting everything together and kind of talk our ideas through. And it's more just a loose term for everything that kind of goes inside. So these kind of, the Homes and Habitats issue was sort of a way of celebrating the inside space. And the issue before was sort of celebrating outside space. So not totally sure what the next theme's going to be yet, but...
What do you feel intrigued by when it comes to next themes?
Oh, God. I'm not really sure. We haven't really had a proper opportunity to talk about it yet. I think probably in line with... you know, celebration of space somehow, but yet to be defined.
Brilliant. There's still magazine left in there.
Mm-hmm. This one, Kaleidoscope. Again, fairly new for me. This is the first issue I've bought. And what I really like it, and what's quite eye-catching about it as well, is it's just stunning. It's beautifully put together.
It comes from Milan.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And... this issue is a kind of exploration into African art, which I must admit I don't know a huge amount about, but it's a kind of, because it's been created for people who are interested in it but live outside of Africa, the essays are really well written, and it's kind of about reframing this idea and these preconceptions we have about African art.
This is a very, I mean, in contrast to the other magazines, which have a kind of homemade feel, this is, you know, very glossy. Mm. This one does look very, very well, well funded, very, very different.
Oh, we could keep on talking about this magazine for the rest of the afternoon, but now I have to thank you, Siobhan Leddy. Thank you for visiting Monocle 24, editor of Flamingo Magazine.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Review on Monocle 24. That brings us to the end of this week's review. If you missed anything, you can listen again at monocle.com via iTunes or our Monocle app. Our show today was produced by Katie Bilboa and researched by Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Our studio manager was Ben Jay.
You've been listening to The Review with me, Gillian DeBias and Marcus Hippie. We're off for some Olympic game coverage now here in London, but wherever you are in the world, have a great weekend.